The obvious question is, how did Yitzchak get it so wrong? He has a son, Esav, that's a murderer, and he has a perfect son in Yaakov, and he wants to give the brachas to Esav? I think the answer to that question can help us both in how to bring up our children and in our own development, what to focus on and how to work on ourselves. Esav, we know, was the quintessential bad actor. Avoy Dezora, Gila Raish, Vichazdamim, Gizela, he was Avoy Dezora, he was a murderer, Arias, stole, he was the worst. And Yaakov seems to be a masmid, sitting in the corner, sitting and learning, only doing good things. And yet, Yitzchak insists on giving the brachas to Esav, and the only way Yaakov ends up getting it is only through a whole trick. What was Yitzchak thinking? He didn't see? He didn't hear? We know that he knew that it wasn't Shem Shemayim Shogar Alpiv. He knew that Esav didn't have Hashem's name in his mouth all the time. He didn't sense anything wrong. He didn't sense. And we can't say that the reason is because Yitzchak got blind. Because Yitzchak only gets blind many years later. He gets blind the Oshnon Shalelu, Rashi says, from the wives of Esav, that Esav married when he was 40 years old. But from 13 years old till 40, Rashi explains to us that Esav was he went to the Beis Avodah Zarah. He was part of the that's where he belonged. Yaakov was in the Beis HaMedrash. Yaakov was sitting and learning, and Esav was in the Beis Avodah Zarah. And Yitzchak wants to give it to Esav. And Rivka, she saw that Yaakov is the special child. Yaakov is the right one. And she couldn't convince it to Yitzchak. She couldn't tell Yitzchak anything. Why didn't she tell Yitzchak? And it seems that Yitzchak was not the only one who had this wrong picture of Esav. Rashi in Devarim tells us, Rashi in the beginning of Devarim, in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Rashi tells us that Yaakov Avinu did not give any teichacha to Reuven until the day he died. Because he was afraid if he's going to give teichacha to Reuven. Before that, Reuven's going to leave Yaakov's camp and he's going to go to Esav. Reuven is going to go to Esav? To Esav? He's a murderer. He's the lowest of the low. Yet Reuven's going to go to Esav? Rashi tells us in this week's parasha another thing. Rashi tells us in this week's parasha that Vayisroitzesu Abana Bekirba, that they were Merivim Benachl Shtei Alamis. Yaakov and Esav had this fight. They were arguing about who's gonna inherit the two worlds. As if Esav had some sort of a claim on the world to come. Esav thought he had. So we have Yitzchak that seems to inexplicably insists to give it to Esav. We have Reuven that could have gone to Esav, at least Yaakov thought so. And Esav himself thought that there was a possibility. What's going on over here? I think the answer to this is in a rule that a person cannot be judged by what they do actually. It's in how far they've gone, how much they've traveled, how much they've grown. What they do actually is not as important as where they've came and how much they traveled. Esav, let's begin with a question. Esav, who could fault Esav? What's so bad with Esav? Esav was born committed to Avodah Zarah. Rashi tells us that when Esav was in as a fetus, still in the stomach of Rivka, when Rivka would pass by a base of Avodah Zarah, Esav was Ratzu Mefarchis Latzeis. That means that he had this urge, this terrible urge, to go do Avodah Zarah even before he was a person, even before he was born. So who could fault him? What's Esav? What's so bad about Esav? He was born with this terrible, terrible nature. He was born with this unbelievable, some tremendous pull for Avodah Zarah. We also find that he was Admoini. The Medrash says Admoini is a, we have a lot of Chazalim that Admoini is somebody who has this lust for blood. So Esav is born with this tremendous pull to Avodah Zarah, a lust for blood and murder. Maybe Esav is not so bad. What's so bad about Esav? Of course the answer is that what Esav does itself, what he did, or what he would have done, is not as important as how much he grows. The fact that he has such a terrible nature, of course it makes it harder for him. But he has to continue working against his nature and continue to grow and grow and grow. If he doesn't get as far as Yaakov, of course not. Yaakov was way beyond reach. Yaakov is a ishtam yoshev aholim. Yaakov had his own set of nisyonis, his own set of tests. And his tests started and continued on a much higher plane. But Esav was born with this terrible, terrible nature, and his work was to travel and to grow from that low place to try to make something, salvage something, and make something out of himself. Yeah, the Vilna Gaon says in Evan Shloima, Perek Aleph Ches, he says, Misha Nafshe, somebody who has a terrible nature, V'yesh Lo Tamid Mechem Seyetza, Oz Lefum Tzara Agra, yes, the harder he works, the better. More tzchar. Va'afim lepam and nechshel ba'aveir. If he ends up doing something that's not perfect, chas v'shalom, ina Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichnasim milifnei mishuras hadin. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not gonna test him because he started off lower. They bring down on the bottom from the Gaon. The Gaon also compares it to another admoini. We know David HaMelech. David HaMelech was an Admoini also. He also had that terrible nature. We know that when Shmuel HaNavi came in, he saw Esav. It's a medrash in this week's parasha, actually, Perek Samach Gimel Halacha Ches. So he sees Kim Shirah Shmuel as David Admoini. He says, zesh shefech domen ke Esav. And the Gaon explains that's why. Since David had this terrible nature, this nature like Esav, that's why, although David HaMelech was Nichshal, he did two Averis, and Shaul only did one. Shaul lost it after one Avera, and Shmuel lost it after two. And Shaul lost his Malucha after for doing only one Avera, and David HaMelech didn't lose his malucha, and David HaMelech is still the father of the Malchus based David, even though he did two Averis. Why? So the Gaon explains, both in Evan Shleima and in Mishlei, he explains the same concept. That David HaMelech had this terrible nature, he was always going against his nature, he was always growing. He didn't have to get all the way perfect. He started off with a terrible nature. It's we're only judging David HaMelech from where he started and how much he grew, how much he traveled. Shaul was burnt. Shaul was ben shloishim ki ben echad. Shaul was born with a much better nature. And Shaul, even doing one avera, was enough of a reason for him to lose his malucha. So now, getting back to Yitzchak. Yitzchak knew who Yaakov was and Esav was. He knew that he had the tzaddikol. He knew that he had Yaakov sitting and learning in the corner day and night. And he knew that Esav didn't show up in Beis Medrash. He knew that Esav was out hunting and killing and stealing and being Mizana. But he also knew where Esav was coming from. And what and Esav, we could assume, was working on himself somewhat. The argument between Yitzchak and Rivka, which obviously Rivka was right, and Yitzchak was wrong, if we could say that. But the question isn't what they were disagreeing about is how hard and how much did Esav travel? The fact that Esav was stealing and killing, that didn't discredit Esav from being a great person. Because he was born with this terrible lust. He was born all the way on the bottom rung. And he had to grow, he had to travel, he had to perfect himself from where he was and travel as high as he can. The fact that he found himself in a much lower place than Yaakov, that didn't prove anything. He started there. He started at a lower place. Yitzchak knew that he had a Yaakov that was sitting in the corner, sitting and learning. But that wasn't impressive. He's sitting and learning. Yitzchak saw Yaakov Avinu sitting and learning. He was born that way. If he leaves the Beis Medrash, that would be terrible. But Yaakov just started there. Yaakov has to grow from what he was born, from where he was born to grow higher. Rivka saw that Esav was not working hard enough. He was not growing. He was not going against his nature. He might have made it look like he was growing, but he wasn't growing nearly quick enough. And Yaakov kept on moving the envelope. He kept on growing more and more and more. And that's why Yaakov is ultimately the one. But the fact that they were able to see what people could see doesn't prove anything what they're actually doing. You have to judge from where they traveled, how much they grew, and therefore it's not so difficult to understand how one could misjudge it. Obviously, when we have with our own children, we have the same thing. If you have a child who's bright and obedient and studious, so we tend to just ignore them, not to push them higher. And the child who's disobeying and a difficult learner, he's the one that we keep on prodding. But the truth is, we have to appreciate the child that's having difficulty, how much he is growing. And the flip side is the child who seems to have it easy, we have to keep on making them grow. We have to make sure that they don't just float along. We have two sets. We have two sets of great people in the development of Klal Yisrael, both Yaakov and Esav, and David and Shaul. In both of these two sets, one was the good nature and one was the difficult nature. And in the Yaakov and Esav case, Yaakov was the one that was really growing. The one with the better nature is the one that ultimately became the Av of Klal Yisrael. And in David and Shaul, Shaul was the one with the easier nature, but David was the one that was keeping on fighting. So it doesn't matter how somebody is born. What's more important is how much they're fighting, how much they travel, how much they're working on themselves. That's what endures. That's what counts. That's how one is judged. If somebody his nature that he was born with, that doesn't count. That's just the starting point. There's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says famous Gemara Daf. The Gemara Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis. The Gemara says that somebody might say Torud BiYitzri. You know why I did avoid? You know why I did an Aveira? I'll tell you why. Because I was Torud BiYitzri. I was bothered. I was busy with my Yetzahara. That's what life is all about. But the way we're explaining it, it's understood because somebody's his argument might be that he feels that he had a bigger Yetzirah, which is understood, and therefore the destination that he has to get to is less because he has a bigger Yetzirah. I once heard from an unscientific poll. I heard from somebody with many grandchildren that the brighter children didn't grow and didn't excel in life years later nearly as much as the ones that were less bright. And I think this is the reason. Because the bright children that just kept on, they had it easy, they didn't have to work hard. So they were able to keep on going. They just did nothing made them work, nothing made them endure, nothing made them grow as a person, and therefore wasn't able to endure when life came, when different situations came up. The ones who had it difficult, they were fighting a whole life to grow just to keep up. So when things came up in life, they were able to grow. And maybe that's why we find by Yaakov. Yaakov sat and learned in his parents' house a whole life. And then he was forced to go learn in Shem Ve'Ever. He was forced to go in hiding. And learn. Let's see if you're going to learn over there. Let's see if you're going to be able to learn. Let's see if you're going to be able to learn under such circumstances where you're not sleeping at all, where you don't have a normal bed. Of course, we know that Rivka was right, and Yaakov was always pushing the envelope. He was always working harder, and he was able to endure the 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever, and then. It was put to even a higher test, and he had to go to his father-in-law's house where he wasn't able to learn, and he was a shepherd, and still Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. That was because Yaakov kept on pushing it, even though he started off at a higher place, but he kept on growing and growing from where he started to grow higher.